Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Always a big fan of bringing Bill Plaschke, LA Times sports columnist. Magical Lakers season could vanish not only without a title, but without a trace. Bill, thank you for joining the show. How are you doing?
Hanging in there, man, like everybody else. I'm a sports guy looking for sports, hoping for sports, you know, praying for sports, but so far, nothing. It looks every day it seems like it's, you know, take one step forward and two steps back.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting, Bill. I feel like, you know, literally every single day you find something that, okay, you know what, I feel some optimism. And then the next day something might take you, like you mentioned, two steps back. How do you feel things are progressing? I mean, I want to get into this article specifically about the Lakers, but before I do so, how do you feel like things are progressing just all around? If you look at Major League Baseball, if you look at the NBA, are you more optimistic than you were a month ago or so, or do you feel like you're still kind of scratching your head saying, I have no idea what's going to happen in the next 30 to 60 days?
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I wrote a column on the LA Times that said, prepare for the possibility of no sports at all in 2020 until next year. And I'm still kind of standing by that. That's my worst case scenario, but that's what I just haven't seen anything yet to make me believe. You know, even Dr. Fauci came out in the New York Times 2 days ago and said sports may have to just skip a season. So I see all the plans from owners and executives of the various sports. You know, the Biodome in Arizona for baseball, Las Vegas for basketball, or Orlando for basketball, or, you know, all these, yet no medical officials sign off on any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think sports was the first to go out. You know, sports led the way in the shutdown of the country. We knew it was real when Rudy Gobert walked off the court in Oklahoma City. But I think sports will be the last thing to come back because it's considered non-essential. So I don't know. I think in more specific terms, I think basketball is a reasonable chance. Basketball's NBA's done. Baseball may be a half season, if at all. Football is the only one I have hope, true, real hope for. But again, I know I'm sounding very, you know, pessimistic, but I'm just waiting for some doctors to say it's okay to play again. It's okay to, or that the vaccine's coming for fans, you know, or the antibodies test is coming for players, and we haven't really heard that yet. I think we're still in a really bad holding pattern. That's why I wrote the column. Mm-hmm. It finally sunk in. I think it's sinking to a lot of people. The Lakers, if this thing, because the NBA was and the NHL are the ones that were really playing right now, they'll be the first to go if anybody goes, and that would be devastating for the Lakers.
So specifically on the Lakers, great piece by Bill Plaschke in the LA Times right now. Magical Lakers season could vanish not only without a title but without a trace. If hypothetically the season didn't get an opportunity to play out, why does this team more than any other team do you feel like it affects, are bigger for the Lakers than it would be for some of the other franchises out there?
Well, they were having a perfect season. I thought it was a perfect storm. I thought they were the favorites to win the NBA championship, and their best player is going to be 36 years old next year. Mm-hmm. And I think that's huge. LeBron has been healthy, injury free, replenished, relentless this year. He's a year older. No MVP's ever. Nobody's ever been MVP at age 36. You know, he'd be beating the odds. So you lose that. I think, and again, it seems like a done deal that Anthony Davis stays as a free agent, but you don't know that. They just don't know that. So that's a potential thing that could happen. He could potentially leave. And again, it seems like he won't, but you'd hate to ever have him given. You'd rather be able to recruit him staying with a championship than to have his last, you know, he took the last shot of the season. If the season ends today, he took the last shot of the season, the shot against Brooklyn that clanged off a three-pointer that missed at the buzzer. You hate to see it end like that, and you wonder how the future portends for him. And just the bench players are all playing. The Lakers just had this magic about them. Mm-hmm. And you know as well as I do, Alan, that didn't come along every year. And they had it going. And I was there, and you were. I was shoulder to shoulder with you the Friday and Sunday, the last weekend of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Bucks on Friday, beat the Clippers on Sunday. They were the favorites to win the championship, and I think they would have won it. I think they would have won it. So I think, whereas the Clippers, for example, their two stars are coming back, and they're fairly young, and they, you know, their core is going to be there together again. I think the Lakers, I think this could have been their year. Again, a lot of it has to do with LeBron and his health. But this was a perfect season, and you don't want to mess with perfection. And this would certainly gut that perfection.
You know, Bill, it is interesting because if you do look at just, you know, we break down some of the other teams. The Milwaukee Bucks, you feel like, okay, you know, they could be around. They keep Giannis around. They keep some of their surrounding pieces. This could be – they could have, when I say a title run, just be competing for a title for a few years. Clippers, you can kind of make a similar argument, at least for another couple years, because I think both Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard are three-year deals. This is the first of a three-year deal.
You mean Paul George, yeah.
Or I'm sorry, Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah, that's okay. A lot of folks still think Chris Paul's there.
That's right. That's right. I know. But then you have the Lakers, and I do feel that LeBron's four-year deal with the Lakers, this season there was something, you know, something was building, and you don't get too many opportunities like this. And I think it's very safe to say that the way the Lakers were turning that corner perfectly coming up to the postseason, and those two wins that you're referring to, Bill, they were not just two regular season wins. They were statement games that I think had the rest of the league scratching their heads saying, like, man, how are you going to take the Lakers in a seven game set? There is something about, you know, will that opportunity be there this time next year? There's no guarantee for that, right? So I think that it's a very, very fair point that this isn't a Lakers team. LeBron's not at 29. He's not at 30. You don't know what tomorrow promises.
Well, also, you think about, not even mentioning this in the story, but I was thinking about this too, the coaching staff that we all thought was going to be so combative, they're all coaching tremendously. I mean, Frank Vogel should be coach of the year. Coaching staff has been tremendous, and Jason Kidd's been part of that. Who says Jason Kidd even comes back? Maybe he gets a head coaching job somewhere. I mean, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. So many variables, and you've seen it before. And I saw it last in this town. A team like this was like the '88 Dodgers. I know I'm dating myself now, but that was their last championship. Mm-hmm. But it was a magical season, and Kirk Gibson was carrying them, and he was injured. But he was an older fella, and he was carrying them, MVP, and they won that year, dramatically, and then they haven't won in 30 years since, you know, 32 years since. So I've seen the magic before, and this feels like that kind of a year, and you just don't know how many chances you get that with that kind of a year. It feels like the Clippers are still building.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like the Lakers, the Clippers are still learning each other. The Lakers were there, and they were there. And you're right. You hit the nail on the head, Alan. I drove away from that Clipper game on Sunday afternoon, March the 8th, thinking and hearing and listening to the radio and talking to friends around the league and around the country. The Lakers are the team to beat. This makes it official. How are you going to beat them? You may beat them in game three at your place, maybe win game six. You ain't beating him in seven games. You just ain't doing it. You're not doing it. And I think that was the general feeling everywhere because they matched Milwaukee's athleticism and rebounding, and they out-toughed the Clippers. And and LeBron outplayed Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think LeBron's going to be MVP. They say he wouldn't have won MVP. I think he should have been the MVP.
I'm with you on that, by the way. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, my God, what he did for this team. And you just wonder, can he recapture it? Can he get that back at age 36? Remember, 36 was when Michael Jordan retired it for the second time. Mm. And then he came back, of course, for the Wizards, and it was never the same. But I just think that's the position. And you can't make a huge deal about it because there's so many more important things going on in the world right now.
Of course.
And in this county. But sports-wise, strictly speaking sports-wise, this is strictly from a court basketball point of view, this is would be one of the greater misfortunes in the club's history. I'm not talking about things like the tragic death of Kobe Bryant or, mm-hmm. you know, the death of Jerry Buss. I'm talking about on the court during the season. This is like when we were denied Chris Paul. The Chris Paul trade got revoked. That changed everything. This is like when Dr. Buss broke down and traded Shaquille O'Neal. That changed everything. This pandemic and this season, if it's canceled, could change everything. Now, if they re-sign Anthony Davis, he can get back pretty quick. But you just wonder, you know, how that's going to go, and you just don't want to take those chances. So, yeah, I saw LeBron's tweet today saying, come on, we got to get back and play. And, of course, he would say that anyway, but extra furor behind that tweet, because the Lakers, more than anybody, they have more to lose than anybody.
Bill Plaschke from the LA Times joining the Sliwa Show. Bill, I'll switch gears for a quick second. On the baseball front, and I know we're kind of all keeping an eye on what happens for Major League Baseball and the repercussions it could have on the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Angels. But just staying real quick, did you get a chance to see some of those ideas that were laid out? And then you saw an East, a West, and a Central, and that West division would have the Dodgers and the Houston Astros in the same division. Just real quick, your thoughts on some of those ideas that have been kind of floated around for baseball?
It's fun. It's fun, Alan. It's really fun to talk about. Mm-hmm. None of those have any medical veracity behind them. None of those mm-hmm. would work. None of them would work. No. I can see them playing baseball. Of course, there's going to be no fans here for the rest of the year for sure. But I can see them trying it. Only there's so many more players in baseball. There's so much more than people involved in it. I mean, I don't know how baseball comes back either. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know how they do it. But all these ideas, playing in Arizona, playing the three divisions, it'd be great to be in the division with the Astros for 1 year. Just 1 year. Let them have a shot at the Astros. But I just don't think so. Is everybody in Houston going to be healthy? And everybody in LA going to be healthy? And where are they going to play? And where are they going to live? And how are they going to work? You know, and how, you know, so it's crazy. And it's crazy, too, is that we're just talking the athlete. We're talking it's hard enough for the athletes to get back in the TV. Then you got to have the TV production people and the umpires and the grounds crews and everybody like that. So it's just overwhelming right now. I just think it's overwhelming to think about. And while football may figure it out by Thanksgiving or Christmas, I just don't see basketball or baseball figuring it out right now. But I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. These ideas are fun to talk about, and I know you talk about them on your show, and they're interesting to toss about. But I just don't see any medical people saying any of that's even possible.
Well, Bill, you know, that's the main reason why I wanted to kind of get your opinion and your thoughts, because I think the article, you know, it's very safe and very fair to say if a season's not, you know, replayed, this could be one of those missed opportunities for the Los Angeles Lakers that you don't get very often. And even like you mentioned on some of these baseball ideas that are being thrown out there, the data is going to be the difference at the end of the day. So we'll see if, you know, things change in the next 30 to 60 days. But Bill, I greatly, greatly appreciate your time and always appreciate
Thanks, man.
Your insight on all this stuff.
It's awesome having you on the air every night. Stay there and stay well and stay safe.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it very much. Thanks, all right. You have yourself a good night.
See you, brother.
All right, that's Bill Plaschke right there. I'm a fan. I got to be honest. I've been a fan of Plaschke for a while, and every time he comes on, listen, did this article and kind of the tone of his voice, does it sound a little doom and gloom? It does. I can hear it in his voice that he's not confident that he feels like a season is going to come back, and the effects that would have for the Los Angeles Lakers, they're real. You know, it's not. When you think of the Lakers, LeBron is LeBron. That's his age. He's 35. And if you felt like this year, this was your best shot under LeBron James to have a chance to win an NBA championship, you're probably right. You know, I'm not going to argue that. I said that a couple of months ago because you felt you just don't know what tomorrow promises. You don't know what is going to potentially happen. I don't have any worries about Anthony Davis. I think AD is going to be a Los Angeles Laker for a long time. But things were just clicking. You know, it's kind of ironic sometimes. Last season, I remember nothing was going right for the Lakers. Whether it was injuries, whether it was the trade deadline, whether it was Magic stepping down on the left, everything just went wrong. Typically, if things go that far off, the momentum is going to eventually come back your way. And that's what happened this season. The momentum was with the Los Angeles Lakers. You felt like this was the team to beat. So for Plaschke to go into an article and highlight all of that, I don't blame him for doing it. I mean, I think it just kind of it solidifies what every Laker fan and everybody here in Los Angeles felt like 6 weeks ago. You know what's funny is, it's actually not funny at all, but just kind of looking back at it, when this all started, when Rudy Gobert, you know, tested positive COVID-19, and we were in the studio, me and Mace were just right in the middle of Crosstalk. Island had just kind of taken off, and all of this just started March 11th, 12th, whatever date that was. I don't think any of us thought, we didn't have any answers, but if you would have told me 6+ weeks later, I'm still sitting in my living room doing shows, and there's still absolutely no answer of when an NBA season, a targeted date, some potential ideas that are out there. I think ideas have been thrown out. You know, obviously the ideas in Vegas and the ideas in Orlando, but really just nothing concrete. I think I would have told you no, impossible. They're going to have more answers by then. I don't feel like time, this much time going by, has put anyone in a position where you feel, okay, we have a good idea of what tomorrow is going to hold. And by the way, that has to just do with the entire country as a whole. Nobody really knows, okay, well, when are we going back to work? When can we walk outside and not have a face mask on? Like all those things, it's not just obviously sports. We just happen to reflect everything or compare everything to sports because this is what we're doing on a night-in, night-out basis. But yeah, I definitely would not have thought that that's the position that that we're all in. Listen, I kind of love the ideas of, hey, this is what basketball could potentially do. This is what the NBA has, or what Major League Baseball has in mind. I like those storylines because it at least for, you know, a short period of time takes you off into this, you know, this world of optimism, this world of hope. I don't want it to be false hope, and I don't know if it is false hope, but definitely offers and provides some hope. Plaschke brought it back the other way. Plaschke basically said, like, no, I you show me some science that would support having and having a season continued and finished, then I'll feel a little bit more positive. I don't blame him for, you know, taking that approach. I mentioned this, that Jabari Young from CNBC, he had this article earlier today that it was going the other way. It was, why are they even trying to have a season in this specific pandemic? But I, like I mentioned earlier, and I'll mention it when him and I chat later, nothing wrong with throwing out the ideas and nothing wrong with trying to plan out what could potentially happen. And science will tell us whether it happens or not. Okay. As we always do, coming up next, we got some halftime coming. There was a conversation that Mace brought up during Crosstalk that I'm definitely going to bring into halftime. There are some great, great platforms out there right now, great podcasts, great shows. We'll talk about some of the best shows right now that we're listening to, primarily on podcasting. So we'll do that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Halftime coming up next, 710 ESPN.
Oh, my man, the sleeve stack.
What's up, fellas? How we doing out there?
Just enjoying all the stacks you're sleeing, or the sleeing you're stacking, however yeah. My man wants to say it.
What's he say, sleeve stack? Yeah, something
sleeve
like
slacking.
That.
Sleeve slacking. All day.
Curtis, what's going on in the office there? How the studio's doing? Holding
He's
it still down. Still the worthy clap. Still the worthy clap.
No, it's
still
the worthy clap. Same, same. That's all I can think of.
Well, I'll tell you that, and this is going to – it's kind of funny because both Mason Island mentioned it just because I'm having, you know, obviously a couple guests. Plaschke we just had, Jabari Young coming up a little bit later. Man, I like play with my own emotions when it comes to sports. You know, like I really genuinely do. One day I think, hey, you know what? I feel damn good that sports is coming back. The next day, I'm like, wow, what if the rest of this year – there's no sports. I like either one can happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I blame Dr. Fauci, or I like to call him Dr. Fauci, because he's always giving bad news. He's always giving bad news. I blame him.
He's definitely the main, don't blame the main him. Source. Definitely don't blame him.
Honestly, I think we're all just desperate.
Fauci
to, like,
has been
feel,
the man.
Yeah, we're all desperate to feel something, I think, because none of us know what's going on.
I'm not
right
trying
now
to go back to high school, all right? I'm not trying to go back to my emo phase. I'm going to start going back to Taking Back Sunday and Jimmy Eat World. I'm going to go back to listening all those bands.
Well, listen, the one thing that I think kind of, I guess you could say the theme of it is, nobody literally has any idea. Like, you can throw as many ideas as you want out there. Somebody could say the league is incredibly optimistic for this, optimistic for that. Here's the reality. The reality is nobody's ever been through this. So even if you do try and restart a season, there's no guarantee that whatever season that you restarted is, you know, like you're not going to run into hiccups. But the only things that have been successful so far, we talked about the NFL, how the NFL was successful. They were successful because you got to be at home for whatever you did. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. All right, were you guys listening to Crosstalk?
I was.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mason talked about basically their favorite podcasts. Their different, you know, shows that they're listening to right now, or their different radio shows that they're listening to right now. So I mentioned this. I talked about how the Joe Rogan podcast that's my favorite podcast. And I don't listen to the whole thing. I listen to these condensed clips on YouTube, and YouTube will have 10-minute, 7-minute, 15-minute, 20-minute interviews, just portions on specific topics. But Rogan, out of nowhere, because I never thought I would like Joe Rogan. I'm not a UFC guy. I just kind of thought, I don't know, I had this perception on him and really just didn't know who he was. Once I started listening, I became hooked. I listen to Rogan all the time. What are some podcasts or some shows that you guys listen to, you know, outside? It could be a sports show, but even if it's outside of sports, that's fine. That are your guys' favorite to listen to.
So just right off the bat, when you kind of mentioned that this is what your halftime topic was going to be, I went to my podcast app and I was like, all right, let me go through all my library, the ones that I listen to, because I listen to a lot. I remember when I used to go to CSUN, and that's, you know, from where I live, about half an hour, 45-minute drive. Podcast would get me through the drive every time. And mostly it'd be Joe Rogan, because that's when I was, like, really tuned into, like, Joe Rogan. And would listen to every single episode. No matter if I didn't like the guest, I was just so,
for
like,
Rogan? Yeah.
Yeah. No, and Drance, and, you know, those fucking the cars when you're driving, that's where, like, you know, I love that's why I love listening to podcasts, because it's just, you're so focused on what they're saying, and of course they're driving, but it's like that.
Are you listening to less now? Are you listening to less now?
A little bit. I try to listen to less. You know, I don't listen to Rogan as much. I wait for the guests, just because, like, I want to listen to other podcasts. So what I'll do is I'll just, you know, I'll read the description on the guest. And if I don't like the guest, I'll just, you know, listen to a different one. But, like, you know, for Joe Rogan, whenever they have Joey Diaz, Duncan Trussell, there's another one, Eddie Bravo, whenever he has, like, some of those guys, I will, like, listen to it no matter what. But Joey Diaz, by far, hands down, my favorite Joe Rogan guest.
What's interesting, Jess, is Mason was just actually saying, he said the doctor that he had on, Michael Ostrom, I think that's the name.
Ostrom?
Osterholm, that's right. Remember when he had him on right in the beginning of COVID-19, and he was just kind of telling people, look, this is what's going to happen. This is the research that we already know. Like, he honestly was just kind of calling out in a very scientific way that this is what's going to happen. May said that's the first time he had listened. He said since then, he gets a lot of his information on what's going on with COVID-19 and some of these topics from Rogan. Like, that's a damn compliment. You know, if you're going to Rogan to get kind of the latest information, and it's not because Rogan thinks he knows everything. It's because Rogan brings on guys or girls that have
know how to
information.
Talk about it. 100%. Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's not only do they know and they're very knowledgeable on their subject, but just Joe knows how to ask the right questions to get that the right answer out, or like that, to make sure that what you're saying, we all get, and what you're saying is what I understand. So it's crazy. But just a couple, mentioning a couple other podcasts that I listen to. There's one called the Yo 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 podcast, which is a comedy podcast with Martin and Hooter. And the Martin is, his name's Martin Moreno. He's a comedian. Famously, the Martin from the Gabriel Iglesias skits. That's him. And his son do the podcast together. And they basically just, you know, hour and a half talk about whatever, their lives, how's it going. And I, for whatever reason, I love listening to it. There's just, their chemistry is off the charts. I mean, they're father and a son, and you don't really, you forget sometimes that they're father and
son. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Another one is the American Wannabes. That's just for, they literally, these three comedians have nothing but fun. They just go on, they record, and they just, you know, practice their bits and talk about the most outrageous stuff you can think about. And the last one that I got for you is Mikey Likes You, which is a fitness podcast that's with Mike Catherwood.
Shout out to Rudy.
Yes, Rudy Cisneros. So Mike Catherwood, he used to be Psycho Mike on Kevin and Bean, and former host of Loveline with Drew Pinsky. He's one of my favorites. He's listening to him was one of the reasons why I wanted to go on the radio, because Psycho Mike.
Curtis, what are you listening to?
So I'm kind of on the same boat as Jess. I used to listen to so many podcasts because the same thing with me, it was the drive. I've done.
Your drive before? What was your drive before? How long would it take you when before COVID?
So I live in Ventura, so it was an hour and a half on a good day to get downtown.
Wow! And now what?
And
does
it's
it
never
take you?
A good day. Like 40 minutes.
Whew.
How crazy is that? I got a friend of mine. She works in Century City, so she goes from Pasadena to Century City, and now it's different. You know, she's doing it from home, but when she was doing that drive, her drive would be like easily an hour and a half. Now you're there in 30 minutes.
Yeah, a lot of times it's closer to two, and you find a lot of there's a lot of thinking to yourself time if you don't put something on.
Okay, so what you're listening to less podcasts now, but what are some of the podcasts kind of are your go-tos?
So the only one I listen to now is a couple of YouTubers, and it's a bunch of just like toilet humor. It's these guys called Super Mega. And for me, it's just like I detach and listen to something stupid and funny. Mm. But beforehand, I used to really listen to, sticking with the Rogan family, The Fighter and the Kid was one show I used to listen to religiously. That's with Brendan Schaub and Brian Callen, the two guys that are on there a lot. But that was one of my go-tos for a really long time, just because like they had interesting conversations and all that.
I mentioned Rogan. The only other one that I do a lot of, but it's really just it's the app. NPR has its app, and that's just like Planet Money. I mean, they always got, it can be very boring, and NPR, you either love it or you hate it, and I think there's a lot of people that are that way, but NPR always got solid stuff as well. Curtis, you do your side. Go ahead.
All right. So I was perusing Twitter this morning, as I always do before our shows, to find something to ask. And something that was really popular was a lot of couples were complaining about things that annoy them from their partners. And I think most of that came from the fact that we're all kind of in quarantine under stay-at-home orders. So you're spending a lot more time around either your roommate's family or whoever than before. So I just kind of want to ask you guys, is there what is something that annoys you that like little things that someone doesn't leave the toilet seat down or something like that? And what is one thing that you know you do that annoys other people?
Okay, one of my pet peeves is when you're talking to somebody and they're on their phone, like they're looking at their phone. It's like, wait, are you paying attention to me? Or, and by the way, I think I do this too. Like, I don't think that's, I don't know about you guys, but I get like, you know, you literally feel like your mind is just addicted to keeping busy with something now, right? Like, there is no just sitting down and just taking a second to yourself. It's like, you need something to distract you all the time. It's not a good trait. So I know I do it, and when other people do it, that stands out to me. Somebody on their phone, they're, you know, texting somebody or they're reading something or whatever the case is. If that happens, that's, I would say, one of my pet peeves. What about you, Jess?
Yeah, that's one of the same for me, but it's hard for me to like kind of call people out with that because I know I do that sometimes. And it's like, I don't like it when it's done to me, but at the same time, I do it to some just, and it's just, you said it's just not a habit, you know, like you feel your phone vibrate. It's like, oh, someone text me or what I got. And it's just, it's weird, but that's definitely one of the things that annoys me. Another thing that annoys
me is, Jess, you know, also just on this too, it's like you will, you know how many times I check Twitter a day for no freaking reason? You know how many
times? Oh, I do that all the time.
You know, like checking the fridge.
Bro,
nothing new is in there, but you still got to check.
Yep.
Just to make sure. How about just checking your email? Like, just things that are so unnecessary. But I'm telling you, you've literally like trained yourself. You've convinced yourself that you have to do it, and you do it all the time. I think I'm my own pet peeve. Okay, what's another one, Jess?
Yeah, so just thing on that too. When Vine was really big, I swear I spent at least 2 hours looking at different Vines. And Vines was 15-second videos.
Hey, Vine was all quality content.
I don't know how. I was just scrolling on my feed whole time. Oh, man. And they would be funny. And next thing you know, I look, it was 2 hours later. I didn't know what the hell I did, but I knew I blew it away. One thing that annoys me is one thing my girlfriend does, and I pointed it out to her, so she knows this. So she I know she can hear me, so it's okay. But if you don't hear anything, if my line just goes dead,
there's a reason. Yeah. We know what happened.
She has a tendency to leave doors open, panels open, the lid to the washer open. And no completely idea. She'll go to work and I'll wake up and go to the kitchen. All the doors to the kitchen are open. The panel's open where she got like the fork and the – yeah, she's – oh, hi, babe.
That's hilarious, bro. That's hilarious. I'm waiting for her to just storm out right now. Just say,
oh, all right, cool. She's giving me the evil Luigi death stare right now. So I might not be able to – I might not be here. I might take a day off with Nathan tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Rest in peace, Jesse.
By the way, how great is that? Mace mentioned today to Cal Ripken that he's taking a day off tomorrow, and basically, like, his streak is broken. Only Mason, man. Only Mason.
Like they were both on equal level.
Exactly. Only Mason.
That's the way he recorded his looky, too. That was, like, he was comparing it to that.
I love it. But you know what? That's the way to do it. Like, Mace's got that perfect balance of, you know, being able to joke around, but then still get on serious topics. Okay, so I think now we've gone through our favorite podcasts, how we annoy other people and how people annoy us. Jess, what do you got?
So I was thinking with all the sports not being on pause, and for the most part, when it comes back, it looks like it's going to be without fans. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of a way, different way to present that. How can we present sports without fans, but still having that, you know, that emotion of being there, but being able to, like, you know, go along with everything? This is something completely out of the box. I don't think it will ever happen, but I think it would be pretty, pretty cool if it does. What if, say, you know, for example, the NBA, they go to Vegas and they stay in Vegas and they do the season. What if instead of airing it live, they do it all, whatever it is, they film everything and they just take a week and put these, you know, film editors together and create a package and air it as, instead of a live game, air it as like a cinematic battle between this team and that team. And, you know, add narratives from coaches.
Storylines.
Before storylines. And this way, not only, you know, the players obviously will know what happened because they were involved in it, but, you know, they would be able to react with us, the audience watching it as well, because they're seeing it themselves back for the first time. And it's a way that, you know, really sports, live sports at least, hasn't been done.
Well, I think they're going to be in such a rush isn't the right word, but I think all they're going to care about is finishing and playing out the season. This is the wrong word to use, but I'm going to use it anyways. Some of it might be gimmicky, right? Like,
oh yeah,
trying to finish an NBA season based off the parameters and trying to include what teams can you include, what teams can't you include? Can you play a 7-game series, or do you have to, you know, make it a lot shorter? I think there's already going to be so many storylines, and it's going to be so different if that opportunity, you know, presents itself in the NBA, NHL, MLB, all these leagues get to either start their season or finish off their season. I think no matter what they do, Jess, freaking everyone's going to be glued in. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
And that doesn't mean that they can't do, like, I'll use what you just said as an example. Magic has that documentary. Remember you sent that to me earlier today that Magic's going to be doing a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are things they can do that are so different than what they've done in the past, and people are going to consume it. I don't know what it's all going to look like, and we don't know if it's going to end up happening, but I do feel no matter what they decide to do, it's going to be one of those things where, like the NFL, they 15-plus million viewers on the first night, they break a record. WNBA was up 130% or something like that in their WNBA draft. Man, people just want anything right now, that whatever comes and when it comes, people will all be waiting for it.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of sparked another thing in my head. When you said, like, those are the numbers are gigantic, and that's for the draft. For people, teams rebuilding, it's like, what's going to happen? What are the numbers going to be when there's actually live sports?
Mm.
You know, like, 15 million people tuned in and watched people getting drafted. There was no, like, real action. There was no real drama. There was nothing that, but that many people tuned in. Imagine the reaction when it just comes back.
Oh, yeah. And they're all coming at the same time.
Yeah. It's going to be like a volcano.
Well, listen, you know what will be interesting, too, is just because sports comes back, I wonder how we'll adjust. Like, I still don't think it's going to be a guarantee that we're allowed to go into a studio. Like, I don't think it's going to be a guarantee that our offices are going to be back. Like, I think for everyone, I'll tell you, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you guys or not. I know I mentioned it in Mason Island. Every Wednesday, I've been doing it for, I don't know, maybe about a year and a half or so.
Yeah, you volunteer.
I volunteer, right? Do you know, the last 2 weeks, maybe even more than that, that I've gone in there, I step into like this, this bucket of like water and like a carpet. It's a disinfectant for whatever you know, whatever was on your shoes from the outside when you come in. And then they also take my temperature, and then you put gloves on and you have your mask on, and then you know, do whatever you're doing. Sounds like that's going to be the new norm. You know what
for
I mean?
For the most
like
part, I everything I've been seeing and I've been hearing, that's going to be the new norm for the most part. Yeah,
temperature taken.
It's gonna be weird.
You're disinfectant with your shoes, so your anything you brought in is now, you know, dies. Gloves are going to be on and a mask. That's crazy. That's crazy that could be the new norm for a while. But that doesn't sound like it's out of the ordinary. You know, like that sounds like that's basically the future.
That sounds, you know, that's for however long it takes for us to pass all of this, that's going to be the norm, without a doubt. That's what I think.
All right, fellas. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but Jess, you got an interview for tomorrow that is I'm really looking forward to. Let's do it before we get out of here. I got something for Dodger fans that I want to hit on when we come back. I think I got some good news for Dodger fans out there. I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Plus, Jabari Young, CNBC, that's coming up at 8:30. We'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Jabari Young covering sports business for CNBC. He's got a great article right now that I think has a ton of people interested to see what some of the details are. NBA team executives, agents are calling on the league to cancel the rest of the season. Jabari, thanks for taking a few moments to join the show.
Well, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. I hope your family and friends are well and safe during this time.
Thank you, man. You as well. So I'll get right into it. I think you. I think this article definitely brought up a lot of conversation today. What are, for those who haven't got a chance to read it, what are executives, agents you've heard been saying about the remainder of this season?
Well, I mean, just that it's just no purpose of trying to come back. You know, I understand there are a lot of teams out there who feel differently, especially those who are in contention. So those will be the ones that are most resistant, especially or those that are still in the playoff hunt and who has a chance to make a couple of advertising dollars and promos, you know, all of that stuff to set up for the future. It's all good for them, but, you know, remember, other teams have nothing to play for, so why take the risk? And then you have other agents and, you know, executives who are also looking at this as, you know, one of the things that fueled me when I was writing this story was that you have an executive out there who maybe agreed to take jobs with other teams, that now those things are on hold because the leagues are on hold. So you put people's lives on hold just because you're trying to play more games. And there's a bigger picture to it. And I think those are the executives and those are the agents who are feeling left out. Agents who, those clients may have already established their market value. You know, what if guys like Brandon Ingram, right? He's already established. He's a max player. He comes back, gets hurt. ACL injury, something like that. What happens to his market value? What does he have to take less of now? And I think the NBA, they're so caught up in trying to save money for the owners or some of the owners who want to still go because they see max dollars, that they're not looking at the other small pieces of the puzzle that have big impacts to your season, and particularly next season. And I don't think they're doing a good job at putting those things into play for next year, because it could be one thing to come back and say, oh, yeah, we're looking for the future, but we want to save now too. Well, you can't save now and look for the future because you need maximum attention to one or the other. They're paying attention to the future or paying attention to the present right now, which is really the past, instead of paying attention to the future and what things you're going to need to make sure your league is operating at the proper protocols and the proper level that it needs to come back next year. And I think the NBA is doing themselves a disservice by not just saying, you know what, let's focus on the year, cancel the season. Well, I don't think, I should say executives think. And this is what's fueling the conversation behind the scenes.
So Jabari, I'll try and, because I think it's a different, definitely a different angle that I've heard, right? A lot of the conversation has only been about how do you save the season? How do you crown a champion? You can worry about the 2020, 2021 season further down the road. Let's see if we can do something about this specific year. So I'll get your thoughts on this then. Because you're, let's use the Lakers as an example, obviously out here in LA, 63 games in, you're not that far away from being able to finish the season. Obviously, whatever regular season you can kind of complete, and then whatever the postseason is from there. Your thoughts on those teams who are in contention, those teams who still feel like they got a shot to win a chip, are you saying that if you wait another 60 days or so, or maybe 30 days, whatever the case, it's not going to be 30, but 60 to 90 days, is your thought process, or from executives that you've heard, are they saying it's just not worth it? I mean, is that kind of a simple way to explain it? It doesn't make sense from a financial basis, or it doesn't make sense from a you've already canceled this much and for this long, how do you restart it again?
Value proposition. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the value of coming back? What's the risk? What's the reward? It's just plain and simple. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we get caught up in so much of this is sports. It's sports. We want to see champions. We want to see competition. That at the end of the day, we also forget that this is sports, but it's a billion-dollar global enterprise. This is business, okay? NBA comes back. Overseas leagues have tried it before, or they've tried it recently, and it just maybe has not worked out. You got places in overseas that are already open for business that people are just not going out, right? So you can't think that sports is just, you know, immune to that. There are going to be people that are against that, okay? It's not a good time for nobody, for no league, mm-hmm. okay? It's not. The Lakers are in good position to crown a champion and to maybe win a champion for the first time in how many of the years? All good and well, right? Tom says that, you know, in history, and look at their roster, they'll probably have a good chance next season. Right? It will. But this is just a unique time. The NBA suspended its year. Like, I don't know what everybody else wants with a virus that is, we haven't had a cure for it yet. You have health and medical professionals saying, listen, it's not safe to go back. But yet you still have leagues talking about trying to go back. The NFL, MLB, I understand their thing because, listen, their leagues haven't started yet. But the NBA and NHL, I mean, listen, tough luck. It is what it is. Then you have owners that come on our channel who are saying, oh, well, you know, yeah, we know guys who are practicing and they're going to have the upper hand compared to them, but that's life. Well, guess what? I've put that back on you. The fact that you can't finish your season, that's life, because guess what? It's about life and death. And if the NBA is still trying to consume a season because people are going to be home and because everybody can watch a TV channel, what is that saying about life and death, that you don't care about it and you place more value on your league from a financial standpoint than life and death? And you don't have to say it's about profit. It is. Okay, fine. If it's not about profit, cancel the season. Play a charity event. Play a charity game. Invite everybody, sign waivers, and LeBron James, you know what? You can pay for everything. You can put on the health insurance, or you can put on the insurance, the liability. You can control everything from a gym in your house. Play it. Everybody's going to watch it, right? Because everybody's at home. Everybody wins. And guess what? You can take that money and donate it to communities. NBA wants to come back and donate every last cent that they make from any playoff tournament, from any week of the season, and donate it to communities. I'm all in. I support it. But you coming back is only saying that you're in it for the profit, while trying to use the moment to say, oh, we want to save the country. You want to save the country? Do the thing that you're telling people to do now. Stay at home until there's a vaccine, until it's safe to do it. The business is not going anywhere, but the people will. And you need the people to support the business.
Jabari Young, covering sports business for CNBC. He's got an article right now. NBA team execs, agents are calling on the league to cancel the rest of the season. Jabari, let's talk about it, because I know your article goes into great depth on this. From a business perspective, what are some of the ramifications for the NBA? And also, I like how you do tie in, because I don't think we've heard much about this. Teams that are not in the playoff picture and don't think they're going to be in the playoffs, how does one affect the other? What is the picture look like for teams that can make a playoff run? What does the picture look like for teams that playoffs are not in sight?
Again, a whole bunch of these questions that need answers, that you're trying to wait for science to allow you to put these things into place. Science is telling you, we're a long way off, right?
It's too early.
You don't have vaccines getting into place until 2021. So you can concentrate on however level you want to concentrate. There's so many things that you have to determine, and this is one of them. Now, what do you do? If you're coming back for a playoff-only format, do you give those teams in the ninth and the tenth seed opportunity to play in? And what happens if they knock off somebody? That means the Lakers' work that they was doing all season is done, all because somebody had the advantage of guys working out, and so they got the chemistry, right? The competitive balance isn't fair right now because states are closed. People can't go nowhere. Dudes ain't flying nowhere. And people are breaking protocols anyway by going out to gyms to work. I talked to an agent of an executive today they had calls, and they're players that are actually going out to gyms to find work. So they're already going out. So now you got to bring everybody into – it's a whole mess. And this is exactly why you have guys saying, listen, this is just too much to figure out, not enough time, cancel the year, look forward to next year. Because you can give those playoff teams, let's say the Lakers come back, and they're not as crisp as everybody thinks. They're not in tune. They get knocked out, right? Because of the playoff format. Everybody going to cry wolf, right? Oh, this don't count. The season don't count. Because you're setting yourself – it don't even count if you win it, because so many – everything is so disorganized. So you're giving people a competitive advantage to possibly win something that they really don't deserve, because everybody didn't have a fair shot at getting it. Why put yourself through that trouble for money?
I think there's a number of reasons why they're going to put themselves through that trouble to try and make the rest of the season
happen.
Yeah,
to make a profit, and because every league wants to be the first to come back and do it the right way, until they do it the wrong way, and then they take tougher PR nightmare. Then you'll have all these owners coming out, or at least those who were against it. Hey, I was against it. I said no. And you'll have everybody coming out. And if it works, then everybody wants to take the credit. But again, value proposition. What is the value of coming back? And then what is the risk? And what's the reward? The risk is life and death. Now, I know everybody's going to say, oh, you can die going to a car accident, going to a game at a car. Yeah, I guess, yeah, you can. But you know what? There's also an invisible thing that can also kill you that we know is out there now, and you're telling people, yo, go back into it. That's cool. We're going to make – go back. And it's like, is it really worth it? The first person that gets sick, the first person that you hear about it, league shut down, it's all of a sudden their reputation takes a hit. Do you want to be that league? and those out there still fighting for it says that if they want to, you pull it off, great, salute. If you don't, good luck.
Jabari, what do you I'm going to just kind of give my opinion on how Adam Silver has handled things so far. Not too much has been said. You know, it's not like he's done one thing or the other. He has obviously expressed that they would like to finish the season, but there's going to be data rather than a date. I think that's a quote that's come from him, where at the end of the day, it's all going to just be based upon whether it's safe enough to do this or not. I'll ask you this because you obviously definitely feel they should call the season and not worry about any of this right now. There's other, you know, big picture things to worry about. Just start focusing on the next season. What is the, do you think there's any harm is not the right word, but what's wrong with just kind of waiting the way the NBA is? Because I feel like a lot of leagues, first of all, are watching to see what the NBA does because they are right in the thick of this and they are the closest to finish their season. But what is the problem with kicking the can down the road for 30 days or 60 days before you make any decision?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. They can do that. You know, they can do it all they want to. But what about those medical professionals who study this enough that says, hey, listen, you're not going to have much in the way of sports this summer because of what it is. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, didn't, you know, Dr. Anthony Fauci come out, you know, just in the New York Times and said basically that it's going to be tough. You got to bite the bullet. This is what it is. You know, now I'm sure he didn't mean that you can't try to put people in an environment to play live sports. But again, to put people in an environment to play live sports, you're basically trying to create an environment that is just going to be very, very hard to control the protocol. And you just still can't control if anything can, you know, you, it's just so much to put in. Now you mm-hmm. can try it. And if you pull it off again, phenomenal, you know, great. But again, is it worth it? Because one thing happens, one negative, and you're trying to control a virus. Spread of germs that you can't even see, by the way. One thing goes wrong and your league takes a PR hit, a PR nightmare. You got to shut down. Or that player now gets put out and he can't play anymore. What happens to that team? He's not, that team now loses. Let's say that they do come back and Giannis Antetokounmpo gets coronavirus. Now he can't play. Do they shut down the league for 2 weeks until he can come back? Or do the Bucks have to go back and play again without their best player? Like, what is it?
No, it'd be over. Crazy to yeah, I think it would be over. Over. Yeah, it would be over it's at that over. Point. That's the one thing, Jabari, I will say, and I've said this, you know, a number of times, you can't get it wrong, right? There's no margin for error. There really isn't. And if they do come back at some point, and look, I think it's fair for you to make this argument the other way, because I'm going to tell you right now, I've had a mic in front of me every day, Monday through Friday, and I'm, you know, hey, this story can play out. What if this happens? You know what? It looks like Vegas could be a possible solution. I'm obviously just kind of trying to see, is there a way to play this thing out? The reality is, Jabari, just to go on your point, there is the other side of it. And I don't think a lot of people have presented the other side, and probably most of it because you don't want to just kind of accept that. But I think it's very fair for you to make some of the arguments that you're making.
Listen, I went to the market today. Every time I go to the market, I'm scared out of my life. When I walked down the aisle, I just had to kind of step to the side because somebody else was walking. I've never done that before. I'm wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. how can we go back to doing anything that we once knew if this is the way we live in? Now, again, I'm a sports business reporter. I want to see sports back, right? Sports doesn't come back. My job could be lost, mm-hmm. right? So I wanted to come back, but there's other arguments to be made, right? There's other perspectives to consider. And I know that everybody doesn't want to cut the cost. Listen, the NBA people are going to look back at this moment and look at the NBA and they're, you know, Adam Silver, I think he's one of the most innovative commissioners. I've reported NBA, they got ideas, they could pull it off. But then you have another set of constituencies that says, no, don't do this. And it's their time to talk. I've done a profile on Adam Silver. I said, hey, if he's the guy to do it, he can do it. He's been trained. He's innovative. He's smart. He knows it. Now it's his time because, again, this is his moment. You don't get a moment and just have everybody on your side. There's other people that says, Adam, don't do this. He has to listen to those people, too, before he comes to his conclusion. Today, what I wrote represented them because there are people out there who feel this is a bad idea to continue something when you do not have enough data to predict the date. And so do yourself a favor. Cancel the date. Look forward to the future. Look forward to the protocols you may have to put in place. Concentrate directly on that. Forget about this season. Do the calculations. You're going to take a loss. Daryl Morey, China, $400 million possibly. You're going to take a loss. This whole moment, you're going to take a loss. It's like pick which door you want. But it's going to all be losses, right? Pick which door. Do it the safe way. Pick to say, hey, listen, let's take the loss. Calculate it. We'll make up for it. The NBA will be fine in the long term. Fine. It's a built-up business. It's great. It's a billion-dollar entity. People are going to come back to it. It's great. When it's time, now's not the time. And if they are smart, they should realize that and be the first to do what they say is right.
Jabari, great stuff, man. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. I think it's a unique outlook. It's definitely different than I think. Put it this way, it's probably not the popular take right now, but I know you're speaking.
Oh, it's not, man. LeBron James has made sure that I got hit on Twitter. But, you know, like I said, that's a great guy, doing a lot of great things in the community. But, again, him and any NBA owner that comes out, their value proposition is way better than the average person that they're also going to be assisting and trying to build this event for a $1 billion conglomerate, a $1 billion industry like the NBA. The little people is the ones that I look out for. Those people are going to be involved, but they're not going to be get paid millions of dollars to do it. And if those people are at risk too, and it's just not fair for them.
Appreciate you expressing your opinion, and great article. All right. Thanks for doing this, Jabari.
Take care, man. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Jabari Young right there. Look, it's a different perspective. I don't personally 100% agree with it. I think it's just as important. Like I mentioned, you're right. It does come down to data. It comes down to science and time. We don't know what tomorrow holds. So why would you just decide, hey, I'm going to cancel the entire season? What if something different happened in 30 days? So I actually want to go a little bit off of that when we come back. Sliwa Show continues. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I mean, do I really have to say what you guys are doing on Sunday? I know everybody's going to be watching episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance this Sunday at 6 o'clock on ESPN and streaming live on the ESPN app. If you miss episodes 1 through 4, you can stream them now with ESPN On Demand and on the ESPN app. Sedano and I will do a little post show for episodes 5 and 6. I want to go back real quick. So the conversation I was just having with Jabari Young. You know, what I need to do in some of these interviews, and you have a platform, and you're trying, when you bring somebody else on, you allow them to kind of, I want him to get into the details of the story, and I want him to, you know, make sure that he points out his views and his thoughts. What I should have done a little bit more of is just kind of chime in myself with some of it, because I'm going to do it right now, but it would have been nice to kind of have a little bit more of a back and forth dialogue. I don't really agree with everything that he's saying there. This is what I don't agree with. The taking a cautious approach, the NBA should take a cautious approach. I get that part. I mean, everybody in the league right now, everybody in life, a cautious approach is, I go to Starbucks, I go through the drive-through. When I order in the drive-through, they say, before you pull up, please put your mask on. Like, think about how cautious everybody is. You're walking outside on the street and you're on the curb and you see somebody, you know, 50 yards in front of you. Either you're going to go the other way and cross the street, or they're going to do it. That's how cautious everybody is right now. We're all working from home and everything else. So we all should be taking a cautious approach. But to just decide right now when, like, you know, Jabari kept mentioning, we don't have enough information. Scientists aren't giving us the data that we're looking for. There just isn't enough. We haven't had enough time with COVID-19 to really know what this thing is, what the long-term effects are. Will it come back in the winter? Does it die down in the summer? There's a lot of still questions out there. But because there's all those questions, I think making a definitive decision on anything is not the right thing to do. Making a decision from a sports perspective, saying, okay, we're not going to make another decision on anything until May 1st. That's what Adam Silver had said. And this was, you know, a month ago or whatever the case is. I think that's smart, because you're still waiting to get more information. And then by the time May 1st rolls around, maybe they say then, okay, you know what? We need another 30 days. And in those 30 days, we're going to eventually decide in these next 30 days if we're going to have a seasonal or not. That's okay to do that. Why would you make these definitive decisions when you don't have the information that you're talking about. If you don't have that info, and you know, scientists out there also don't have the information, it's okay to take it 30 days at a time. Who is it affecting by doing that? Now, I will tell you this. If they completely rolled the dice and said, guys, they're looking at it just from a business perspective, and I'm talking about Major League Baseball, and I'm talking about the NBA. If they said, okay, well, we sort of feel good with this plan, let's roll the dice and give it a try. Okay. That's a different conversation. That's probably not a smart idea. And I mentioned this earlier in the show. I got faith in Adam Silver. The faith I have in Adam Silver is he's not going to put the league, the players, the coaches, the trainers, he's not going to put them in that position. I have faith in him. Now, whatever plays out over the next 2 months, 3 months, we'll have to wait and see. The optimism that I've shared is I just know the league wants to get a season and wants to finish off this year. Is a lot of that driven from a financial basis? It is. It's a business, and that drives a lot of things. But I also think that they got this close, 63 games in, that they're not that far away from completing it. And that they know that they could push back the 2021 season. They know that they have that flexibility of doing so. But just for the same reasons that Jabari Young was mentioning in his article and mentioning in the interview of why they should cancel is because there's not enough information, is the exact reason why I would say, why would you cancel? Hold up and wait. Take it 30 days at a time. Let Adam Silver come back hopefully in the next week or so and say, okay, based on all the information we have, we are still not ready to make any decisions. We'll get back to you on June 1st. I don't think there's a harm in doing that. I really don't. I don't think there's a harm in doing that. And if there's drastic changes in the next 30 to 60 days, like, why would you cancel the season and then decide 60 days from now that you made the wrong decision? You don't need to. Just kind of kick that can down the road. And if it eventually reaches a point where you say, well, we gave this every opportunity and every shot that we can, but we're just not going to have that opportunity to finish out the season. We're now going to focus our attention on the 2020-2021 season, then you'll cross that road when you get there. You know what I mean? Like, you'll cross that bridge eventually when you get there. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about what we got coming up tomorrow. So, Jesse did a fantastic job. I mentioned to him there's a great Netflix special right now called LA Originals. The photographer on there, Estevan Oriol, he's going to be joining the show. It's great. It's on him and an artist, Mr. Cartoon, turned their Chicano roots into gritty art impacting street culture, hip hop, and beyond. It's got a lot of LA roots in it. So he'll be coming on tomorrow. And I'm also working on, we should be confirming another individual from the Sports Business Journal talking about some mock-up plans for the NFL. So we'll do all that coming up tomorrow. Appreciate you guys tuning in as always. LA, have a great rest of your night.